Lord, we thank You that You've anointed us for service. We thank You, Father, that You help us fulfill our station. We thank You, Father, that where You've planted us, we will blossom, we will bloom. We thank You that You pour the water on the dry ground, the parched earth. We thank You, Father, that Your banner over us is love. Hallelujah. Lord, You have crowned us with loving kindness and with tender mercies. You have released Your host of heaven over this house. We thank You, Lord, that this is a blessed house and not a cursed house. We thank You, Father, that we hear the voice of the Bridegroom and we follow Him always. Straight forward, going forward, never deviating, never turning to the right hand or to the left, but always pursuing, always going forward. We reach into the force of that high calling, Lord, which we have been called to. We press forward to that mark. We love You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We thank You for Your angelic host that is in this place. We thank You, Lord, that for the angelic host that continually comes, Lord, and continually delivers us out of the hands of the enemy. We thank You, Father, for the Holy Spirit, for the saturation for the Holy Spirit over our minds and our bodies and the presence of the living Lord that comes and visits us. Jesus, we pray that You'll arise from Your throne. We pray that our praises will cause You to stand up and applaud what You're seeing take place on this planet Earth. We agree with other houses of prayer. We agree with other places who stand in this place with us and say, Florida is in revival. Our place in this house, our place in this station, Florida is in revival. And Lord God, we call on You for this outpouring and we praise You and give You glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I wanted to share with you a few things, and then maybe in a little bit if any of you did need prayer. Hallelujah. But you're probably all so healed right now that you can't stand yourself. Hallelujah. Well, I got a call from Mr. Ralph Morgan last night, and many of you haven't seen him in a while. He's been fighting a real battle. He was hospitalized a couple months ago, 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. And I visited him in his hospital, and he was diagnosed with some kind of heart condition. And so they had him on 5 different kinds of medicines. And this came on him pretty suddenly and unexpectedly. But we've been praying for him and praying for their return. And they surely want to be back here. That's how they always talking about hoping to get back real soon. But Otto stood up here for him not too many days ago. And so I got a call. It sounded a little desperate when I got the voicemail. And then I called back. But it was a praise report. Hallelujah. A real praise report. So he said that he visited the doctor that day, yesterday, and the doctor had said, he said, I'm going to say it like, you know, put it in my words, own words, but he said this. He said, the doctor said, your heart has healed itself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he said, I knew it a couple days ago. It was like something came on him. He knew. Well, it didn't just heal itself. Praise God. Amen. We know who healed him. Hallelujah. We took a... Vinny took a prayer cloth to somebody the other day. Was that the guy that was here Sunday?
Prayer book.
We took a prayer book.
Yeah.
Okay, but that... Yeah, and then you were having us pray for him or... Yeah, well, you took the book. He got filled Sunday, didn't he? Hallelujah. Things are happening pretty rapidly. Aurelia had somebody that was desperate and looked like they were dying. She told me Sunday that the whole thing had changed. If she was in here, I'd get her to give the details. Why don't you just stand up on those praise reports and lift your hands? We heard Lisa's Sunday of her daughter that was healed. Hallelujah. We give You all the praise and all the glory. Jesus, You're still healing bodies. You're still healing minds. You're still delivering souls unto glory and grace. And we worship you and glorify you, Jesus. And thank you for healing our friend, and coming to him in his infirmity, Lord, and raising him up. And Father, we thank you that we'll see him here again shortly. And we worship you and give you all the praise. And thank you for these that you've filled with the Spirit and those that you've raised up from the dead. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. And we thank you for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to greet each other in just a moment. But why don't you, whether you're sitting or standing, you might have to sit back down to do this, but why don't you prepare whatever you're going to prepare if you have something tonight to bless the house of the Lord with. Let me pray over it first. And you listen while I'm praying. Father, we thank you that Immokalee not only has an outpouring, but it has all the monies necessary for this outpouring. And Father, we receive your grace, for it is by grace that, Lord, you touch our hearts and that you bring it in from every corridor so that, Father, that when it's come, it's sanctified. It's brought unto the Lord. And I thank you for every dollar that is sanctified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, ask him, and we'll put those up here. And while you're greeting each other, you can mosey up here and put something in if God has something for you. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, this is election year. Can you imagine that? Four have gone by, or going by. So we get an opportunity to continue to pray, continue to do, and see if we can change. My son is in the White House, but my son may have to be removed by the Spirit of God. Some of you are wondering because you need explanation. Gary Carpenter said something years ago that changed me. And he said the Lord, he was, I don't know if I'll remember it all correctly, but I want to say that he was bad-mouthing the president at the time. And that was one that wasn't real godly. And saying things that most all Christians say, you know. And then the Holy Spirit said, you know, if you'd pray for him, instead of criticizing him like you do, I could come and change his life. And he said, the way I want you to pray for him, I want you to pray for him like he's your son. And I want you to pray for her like she's your daughter. And the time they had a daughter, and so that'll probably identify with many of you who that was. He said, pray for that like that's your granddaughter. Well, for the past 4 years now, many times once a week or two or three times a week when I pray the prayer in Thessalonians, I believe it is. And then that's the way I'll say it. I pray for my son and I pray for my daughter and I mention his name. See, if you personalize it to that effect and you begin to imagine that you can love them like if your son was in there and he was in rebellion and he wasn't following God. See, a lot of times you'll pray for people, but excuse me, I hope you don't get offended, but it's the truth. Your prayers don't get very far because you're praying just out of obligation. But I try to imagine, I'll mention JoJo. People don't know on the internet who that is. That's my first natural born grandson, but they're all natural born. I don't know how to explain it right now. I've got others. But if I got a call in the middle of the night that I had to be at the hospital, I mean, you know, I'd pay the speeding ticket. But that's because he's my grandson. But here's the deal. If you pour your affection into a prayer, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And sometimes when somebody asks you to pray, it's hard to bring yourself into subjection to the moment. One of the best things I've found is to put them before myself as someone that is a kinfolk that I love dearly, and I'd fight with everything inside of me for their life. Popcorn prayers. And popcorn prayers, I mean, you know, just up and down. They could, because a 2-second prayer can change everything. It really could. But it's the effectual ferventness that you put into it. Hallelujah. It really could change things. Just one word can change things. But it's how much you mean it, and it's really how much you can feel the affection of somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. So it gives us the opportunity this coming year to change things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Who you are, Jesus. Oh, we glorify you. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We got started Sunday and it was like a prophetic service. It was just like the Lord took over. I had intention of going to here where we hopefully will get to Ephesians. But God was just highlighting. Sometimes it's necessary in the Spirit for the Holy Spirit to begin to just open up to us a window of understanding that we can see the battle that's around us. A lot of times that is so guarded, not just the battle itself, but the disguise of it is so guarded, so that you could have 50 people or 100 people attending the same church and going through so much of the same things and yet not understand the warfare that is around them. But the Holy Spirit began to take and in a very beautiful way show us and give us an understanding that there is something out there, but it's defeated already. Hallelujah. And others came afterwards, and it wasn't a time of whining and crying. It was a time of saying, look, we understand, because we understand what's been amped up in the Spirit recently. And if you understand why, then you understand the privilege by which we have been targeted to say we choose to go forward. Hallelujah. Choosing to go forward is something that sometimes is a continual process. Sometimes it's not a choice between sometimes months, but then sometimes to go to the next level and stay in that place where He can come and bring the authority through you for what He wants to do in the house. See, He doesn't. Oh, Satan doesn't really hate you per se. He does. He doesn't like you. But he hates your potential. He hates the potential that you have to become a true worshiper and somebody that's filled with the Word of God. To the extent that maybe you'll join in with intercession and the pure authority of Christ will just so flood your life that you'll help us to bring a revival. So, don't feel like you're alone. Just know that, hey, we're all in this together. Praise God. And we're winning together. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians. I believe we'll go back there. This was probably meant for Sunday mornings, but I thought maybe, but This is one of those rivers, or probably the primary river that's flowing through me presently, is Ephesians, especially in Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want us to go back there because it continues to give us a foundation of where we're headed. Let's pray, and you pray for me these next few moments. Father, we love you so much. We're looking for, this is my word, a smorgasbord, just a variety to come into your presence, to worship you, and then find that in your presence you come with healing and deliverance, the manifestation of who Jesus is. We thank you, Lord, that the arms and legs will grow out. And that is a beautiful hope that we have in our inheritance to give you this. But Lord, beyond that, we recognize that there is even something much higher than that. And that is to come into a place where Jesus is all in all. And Jesus is absolutely become our sufficiency. And Jesus becomes everything in us, everything to us and in us. And then last of all, everything that is through us. We praise and worship you. We will not be slack in this revival. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for the word of life. Now speak these next few moments to us and through us. We love you, Holy Spirit. Glorify Jesus, we pray. Amen. We've been here and we've encouraged you to look at Ephesians. And I'm going to try not to go over a whole lot of what we went through the last few weeks, although it's kind of difficult not to, to some degree, because there's so much good stuff in there. But we want to get later on, or later, the latter part of this chapter, if we're blessed enough to get there. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Grace. Everybody say grace. I just love it. Grace. Boy, he just peppers this whole book with grace. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop right there for just a moment and just say to you, many of you have learned, or are, as I would say, I try to correct myself and say I've learned this. I like to say I'm learning, because it's always a process. But I am learning as a meditator, if you want to say it that way. The juiciest parts of Scripture are so, they're there, but you cannot be in a hurry. As you read the Word of God and as you meditate the Word of God, do the things that David used to write a pause. The pause in his songs or psalms would simply say Selah, and it meant to pause. It meant to calmly think about it, to ponder. It's like to muse. It's to chew it. It's to chew it and chew it and chew it. Now, if you gobble down your steak, you can't enjoy it. You may think you can, but a couple extra chews will help you to really enjoy it. There is so much invested in the Word of God. I just encourage you in your private, personal meditation to go slow enough to listen. To listen as the Holy Spirit develops in you something to build you up and say, behind every verse, there is an open door of riches that will fill and envelop you with such strength and such power. You could meditate any one verse in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit comes and begins to shed His light on for days and literally for weeks and keep getting fed on it. So, be blessed. He said this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now, a few things real quickly there to remind you. He said before, in other words, there was a contemplation prior to the foundation. That word foundation means beginning. It means the start of. Later he talks about that we were built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. That's a different word. That means that we're built on that coming up from it. This means something that begins. And he says, before the beginning of the world, not the eon, which is a generation, we have the generation in which we live in, but this is the word cosmos. Before the Lord created the heavens and the earth, before all of that took place, we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Hallelujah. Holy, you were created, you were chosen to be holy. Hallelujah. Chosen to be holy and without blame in love before the foundation of the world. Now, we commented on that and taught that somewhat. Before God ever created the earth, everybody that could ever be born, down to the last child, at some point, there is going to be the last human being that's going to be born. And what this chapter begins to describe for us is a predestination that God determined prior to everybody's birth, prior to even the creation, before, I said it the other day like this, before the lights ever came on, before the light switch was ever switched. The redemption of mankind was planned. In other words, God had to see His fall, and God had to also contemplate and know, we can say it like this, figure it out, but He didn't really have to figure it out. He knew in an instant. That was all. How that happened in the Godhead is way beyond us. How they, we have to use the word figure it out, but they didn't have to figure it out. They just knew instantly. They saw, they said, let's create, but before we create, we already see that we give man something that we also give angels, that is a will. You know, giving us a will costs God everything. Giving us a will, He could have made us robots, but do you know why He gave us a will? So that here in this place, on a Wednesday night, saying what we're saying, that Immokalee's in revival, and coming in here with all of everything that you had to do to get here, and everything that you'll have to do to get here, any of the rest of the services, the fights that you go through, that you get one time, you get a one-time shot to lift your hands in this dispensation and to give God what He desires more than anything else, and that's free and unadulterated worship. Unadulterated means totally devoted to Him. You get the opportunity to give to Him that in a place where there are so many distractions. So many distractions. So many reasons why you could choose not to come to church. Why you could choose not to lift your hands. Why you could choose. If it's not your body, then it's your business. If it's not your business, then it's a child. It's a rogue. It's something going on in your family. It's something going on in your house. It's something going on in your marriage. It's something. Those things will always exist, and they will exist in the revival. The only thing is, there will be more grace. Grace will be multiplied, and as we grow up, we will handle all those things more and more and more and more like mature men and women in Christ. Hallelujah. In fact, we're watching the numbers go down. The numbers have gone down in the church, but the bottles, there's not as many bottles. What does that mean? Not as many baby bottles. Not as many diapers to be changed. In other words, the ones that are still here pretty much couldn't go to the bathroom on their own. Maybe that's not a good way to say it. I'm just talking about growing up past infancy. Growing up to a place where opportunities to become offended are chosen. Now they seem to be choices to you. And they're not only choices, they're choices that you can easily walk away from. Hallelujah. Otherwise, well, we won't go into the otherwise right now. Hallelujah. We'll stay focused. He said this, according as He's chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children to Himself. Now, I run into people sometimes, and people make predestination a real mysterious thing. Do you know predestination means that He just intended everybody to be saved? That's all it means. That's the simplicity of it. He intended Adolf Hitler to be saved. He intended that everybody that is in hell should have been saved. That was His intention. That's predestination. Wow. And you get thick books on it, and you get people saying, you know, all of this stuff, well, He predestinated. And some people, you know, some people really believe that if you're born again, He's chosen you, and you were predestinated, and the others weren't. Now, you know what that says? You've got to go to the other end of that. What that says is God predestinated and chose, just like you were chosen to go to heaven, He chose others to go to hell. That's simply what it means. It means that God chose some people to go to heaven and some people to... Can you imagine serving something like that? I can say that like that because I know I'm not being disrespectful to Him, because there's no way in the world He does stuff like that. No way. He chooses one over another, and you're going to burn in hell for eternity. He predestinated. He chose that everybody would be born again at some point in their life. The word predestination means to limit to a certain point. What He meant was once a person is birthed in this earth, that some point on their journey in life, I'm going to visit them. And if they'll hear My call, then it is My election. It is my final decision, and that all of them get born again. And did you know all this was decided way back when there was no earth? That's amazing. Way back when there was no earth. Do you know how much God loves you? He planned everything for you. Not only before you were born, before this world was ever created, but even while you were being created, I had to go back to one of my favorite Psalms and hold your place right there. I just want you to see how loved you are, and how the Holy Spirit gets an opportunity every day to show His love for you through praying in tongues, if you give Him that opportunity. Go back to one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 139. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Look what He says. This is so wonderful. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret. Now, to say that, that's when you were conceived. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You want to put that in real, just, that's where you were conceived. That's where you were, that's where your mommy and your, in her tummy. Okay? Thine eyes, look at this, how wonderful our Creator is. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, that little embryo is not a perfect specimen, although it's a living spirit. It's not a perfect looking human being. It doesn't, while it's being formed, it takes 9 months for it to get all of its parts and be totally ready for birth. Yet being unperfect, in Thy book, all my members were written. Isn't that amazing? God has a book that while you were being created in the lower parts of the earth, all of your members were being written down. And not while, I have to change that.
it says that all of them were written down. All of them were written down in his book. Now, this is amazing, and I'll tell you why. He says, yet being unperfect, even before they were perfected, in thy book all my members. Everybody say all.
All.
All means all. That means he wrote down, you got a nose. She's got two little feet. They've got a perfectly. And you know he didn't form anything imperfect in his book. He didn't write anything down. They've got, now this is according to his record. They've got a perfectly working brain, a perfectly working heart. See, any child that's born with a left arm missing, that's not in his book. In his book, it's written down that they have all their parts. In thy book, all my members were written with continuance, were fashioned, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Isn't that wonderful? You talk about the power of predestination, how much he thought of you prior to. That he even designed that when you came into existence, all your members were written down. Isn't that amazing? That's the beauty of our God. Now, what a plan that he has on this side of the cross for you, that if you just enter into it, it's all predetermined for you. And no matter how many times you can mess up, we said this a couple weeks ago, he can always redirect your mess ups. That's the beautiful part about the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't want to make his job tough. I want to make his job easy. I want to flow with him. But praise God for the Comforter that has come that can continually lead and guide me into all truth. And his word is truth. Now, back to Ephesians chapter 1. He says, having predestinated us, verse 5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. I just can't hardly wrap my mind around some of these phrases. The glory of his grace. His grace has a glory. I mean, you can stand and contemplate for days. God, show me the glory of your grace. Show me, Lord. And it never gets over to you. I mean, it just, that's one thing about the beautiful part about eternity. I'm going to be drenched in him. All flesh will be gone. Whatever's impeding. See, the joy that I'm giving him now is I get to choose to peel back the flesh in a time where it's not the easiest thing to do and look into his presence and say, I want to know you. In fact, Holy Ghost, if you and I are going to spend the next trillion, you know, billion, trillion, if we're going to spend eternity together, what he wants you to do is get to know him now. Get to know him now. Get to know him on a beautiful, intimate basis now. Because so many of his children do not. They don't know him in an intimate fashion. They don't know him in that path. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This is amazing because he starts out this chapter saying all this was planned earlier. And what was planned is forgiveness of sins through his blood. Now, we broke that down the other day and on that first Sunday when we began to teach this first chapter. How soon was that gospel of his blood preached? Immediately. God did not stutter, or he did not contemplate, is a better way to say it, what to do with fallen man. When he found him fallen, he immediately said, you know, there was no questioning Satan. There was no questioning the serpent. He just dealt with him. He talked to the woman. He began to ask mankind, why did you do this? As Dave says, Adam, didn't you believe me? I can't lie. I said you would die, and I can't lie. But when he cursed the serpent, immediately after he curses the serpent, and he begins to tell the woman and the man what's going to take place in their life, the very next thing that God does is He sheds blood. That is immediately, and none of this, God did not have to go away for 3 days and say, I'm coming back. He all contemplated this earlier. He knew it earlier. And so immediately, this just comes right out of Him. Here's my plan. This is what we're going to do. And I'm going to show you, and as I said, this was not cavemen. They immediately, when you read the Word, and when you read Genesis, and when you read these things, you have to understand that there's a whole lot more going on than is said. But you know, immediately as we went there and broke it down, is that when Cain and Abel offered their sacrifice, the reason why God did not accept Cain's sacrifice is because it wasn't because God hated vegetable growers and God loved sheep ranchers. It was they knew. Adam had already shared with his sons the story, and he had already shared with them the fall and the instruction of God. And the understanding was God already said, I'm bringing the seed is going to be by Eve. And God immediately showed them the example, you're going to be covered. I'm covering you. Until I can get my son in the earth, here's the covering. I have to shed blood for it. That blood message was given to them immediately after the fall. Immediately after the fall. So that when Cain offered up vegetables, here's the second time that the perversion, that's a strong word, but nevertheless is applicable, because here the first perversion was to take the truth and take it into a lie and say, God said it, but I can eat and do what I want to do and I will not die. Well, they did die, but they didn't die physically. They died spiritually. So it seems like this serpent steps back out for a season, and these sons are born to Adam and Eve, and the next major perversion of humanity, he's to start with trying to take them like this. God casts him, he puts him under the feet of man and takes Adam and Eve out of the garden. But the next time he shows up for a perversion against humanity is when he tries to take the very means by which man will eventually, down the dispensations, be redeemed, which is by the blood, and say, why don't you do it another way? And Cain comes and says, okay, I'm going to offer sacrifice. Take these vegetables, God. And God said, I can't do that. I can't do that. And it made Cain angry because he looks over. However that worked out, where they knew, and at that time, because of the way that the dialogue lets you know that there was a lot of God was actually talking to these people. I can't accept your sacrifice. But he knew. He knew that he was supposed to give blood. Why? Because the blood spoke of a coming Savior. Cain, Abel, said, okay, I will give blood. I don't know exactly all the ramifications about this, but I know this speaks of what you spoke to my mom and dad about. Their fall was covered by the blood. I will offer blood. Cain said, I will not. I'll go it my own way. If God would have allowed that, you know, God can't allow mankind's best intentions. He can't. He can't. That's why you watch all the time the same people that fight. Now I'm really sounding like an NRA guy. Gun control. They fight all kinds of stuff that are just constitutional things that we take for granted. They will believe that if you own a gun, you're some kind of possible terrorist. They believe that, you know, but at the same time, they can believe that it's okay to kill Do you know how many babies have been killed in America since it started? 50 million is what I heard the other day. 55 to 56 million. Millions. What I'm saying is, and that first example didn't give it justice, the better way to say what I'm trying to say is, they will fight for saving the whales, saving the trees, but especially like stuff like animals and different things, and I love animals, but the hypocrisy. But you know what all that is? I'm not condemning those people. God loves them as much as He loves me. Here's the deal. They want to do it their way. And if you tell them, look, I'm not mad at you. I, honest to God, I'm not mad at you. And I will eat with you to share Christ with you. If you've got an alternative lifestyle, I will love you. I'll have you in my home to share Christ and share the love of God. But if you tell them, look, you can't live this life. At the end of that life, there's destruction. There's eternal judgment. You can't live that. If they're doing something good for society, that's their offering of their fruit. That's what they're offering. And many of them that are rich are giving millions of dollars away to feed the African children and the AIDS victims. But that's Cain's vegetables being lifted up and saying, accept me, God, how I am. I believe in a higher power, but I believe I'm not going to offer blood. That's what Cain did. God predestined from the beginning, it had to come through His Son. Aren't you glad that grace found you right where you were? Hallelujah. He said this to the praise of His glory, to whom we have redemption through His blood, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He has purposed in Himself. I like this because He says it two times. He purposed it in Himself. This is so beautiful and I cannot do it justice tonight. It almost feels like the weight of these words is like God prior to humanity. There was nobody smarter than Him. It's like God had to go get with Himself, although He didn't really have to go anywhere. But it's like I've got to muse this, contemplate it. Nobody can help me with this. It is a perfect redemptive story. Even though man's fall was not perfect, God had a perfect plan from the beginning. And in all of this, guess what? Let me remind you again. If He had a perfect plan, you're in that plan, and God knows how to pay your Sears bill. He does. He knows how to keep your jobs. He knows how to give you a job. It's all in the plan. It's all in the redemptive plan. This is the mystery. This is all of everything that we've been called to. He says, I love this, that He's purposed it in Himself, that in the dispensation, everybody say dispensation, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, times is almost the same word, dispensation, but the dispensation is singular, times is plural, that in the dispensation of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even Himself. Okay, the time or the dispensation, there was a time of, let's say, creation. That was the beginning, or the time of the beginnings. And that was up to Noah. And then Noah's flood. And then after that, it gravitated into the law. The next time or the next dispensation with the law. After Christ, we are now in 2,000 years in one dispensation called grace. This is the dispensation called grace. The dispensation called eternity, or the dispensation called the beginnings. The dispensation called the law. That's when all of those laws and ordinances Praise God, we're not under that anymore. Now we're under grace. The next dispensation is that thousand-year reign. That's the times that he's talking about. He uses plural. There was the beginning dispensation. There was the law dispensation. We're now under the third one, the grace dispensation. And there's one that's coming, that's the millennial reign. But then after that, we go into eternity. That dispensation. He said at the end of all of those times, this is his plan. He's going to gather all of everything that's in heaven that knows him. All of everything that was there, everything that's there now, all of us that's here or could be here. He's going to gather us all into one place to serve him in that end time, always dispensation. And what we're going to be doing is far beyond us, and it's too great to even imagine. But guess what? All of that was planned prior to the eons. Hallelujah. Prior to the creating of the cosmos, before the world was ever, God said, I predestinate at the end of all times. It's like this. If I get my kids together and say, look, we're going to, I'm thinking of like the most diagonal city, further city in the United States would probably be maybe Seattle, Washington, or someplace out there. If I said, look, here's the deal. I've provided every one of you plane tickets, money. I've went to your jobs. I've got your time off. Everything is provided. At a certain day, I'm going ahead of you. Some of you are going to leave at certain times. But I predetermine, it's my determination, my will, all of us are going to meet out there on a certain day. Now this is what God is saying. From the beginning, before your life ever started, before you were conceived in the lower parts of the earth, guess what? In eternities, down to the last child, down to the last baby, even those that are in hell right now, God predetermined that every one of them, it was be like, hey, I will see you. It's like walking away, getting in a car or getting on a plane and saying, I'll see you in Seattle. This is what God said. I will see you. I've provided everything. I will see you at the end of the dispensations. All of you, I will see you at the ending point. We will all be gathered together. Don't miss it. I provided everything for you. Hallelujah. On top of that, that came about with a new nature. On top of that, this is what is so exciting about the Holy Spirit. He says, in whom, that in the dispensations to come, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained inheritance. This was all determined in him prior to being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh. I love this, the way it says it, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Here he goes again, like, I got to do this. This is in me. I got to conceive this. This is my will is I'll meet you in Seattle. Now, how I get you there, I got to come up with a plan. And that's my counsel. And my counsel is this. I counseled myself. God said, I basically conceived this in myself, and I come up with the very best. His name is Jesus. There was no other way to get you out of the mess. God had to become a man and redeem you by his own blood. And he says here, him that worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. What he's saying there, that's when you got born again. When you get born again, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also I love this word also, where it comes in conjunction here. In whom also, after you believed, after you were born again, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. What he is saying here is the Holy Spirit, once you got born again, he took everything that God had conceived in that plan, and the word seal here means a stamp. That's what it means. God stamped it. And when he stamped it, the picture, I believe a certain picture that would be applicable, that would be perfect for your mind to conceive, and it's not misconstruing this scripture, is to see that king when he puts that stamp, that seal. Even better yet is if you've watched films or you've looked in books or you read in antiquity, you see kings many times when the scroll or parchment or whatever is to be sent by the courier, they would take, and the last thing done once he is ready to seal it, it is the actual sealing place where the two parts meet is actually concealed or actually covered over with wax, with hot wax, and it presses on both the top and bottom, and as it is hardening, the king's insignia is stamped there. Now this does a couple of things. One, it preserves so that the one receiving it knows that the content inside is perfect and pure. The other thing is, it is the stamp of the king saying, I stamped it. It can't be any better than this. The Holy Spirit is God's. It's God. God came and said, okay, here's my perfect plan. All through the dispensations, I planned this. I looked way ahead and planned Christ. But on top of that, I am giving you the Holy Spirit, which is my seal, my absolute promise. And he says this, which is, speaking of the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Everybody say this, I am the purchased possession. See, God purchased you with his blood. Jesus purchased you with his blood. You're the purchased possession. But he says here, which is the earnest, speaking of the Holy Spirit, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest up front. It's the up front. Okay? Howard goes to buy real estate. The guy says, are you serious? Yes, I'm serious. Can you give me 10% down? Okay. How much is that? I need $5,000 from you. Okay. Here's $5,000. I really mean I like this property. I'm going to buy this house. If the loan goes through, or, you know, if I can afford it financially, I'm going to buy this house. What can you give me in earnest? The earnest is, here's my 10%, or here's my 20%, or here's whatever. God is saying, my Holy Spirit, once you got born again, the same one that birthed you is also going to come and baptize you. And his work in your life is going to prescribe to you through wisdom and prudence. You know, prudence is the working out of that wisdom. And wisdom and prudence, all of the unfolding of the mystery of God in your life is going to have to come about. He says, all of this mystery was hid in Christ. And guess what? The answer that Christ brought is salvation. Oh, and on top of that, he gave you the Holy Spirit, which is God's absolute earnest to say, hey, I'm really serious about that. I'll meet you in heaven. I will meet you in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is he is the earnest, the upfront of the purchased possession in which you are. And he says, wherefore, or he says, the earnest of the, until the redemption of the purchase, until the millennial starts, until we all meet on the other side of it, the Holy Spirit is the redemption of the purchased me, the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto the saints, cease not to give thanks unto you, or give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, we're going to stop at the end of this chapter, give unto you the Spirit. What does he want? He wants, Paul is praying, that we get the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Why? Because He wants you to understand. Listen, later on in this book, He says, I want you to wake up. Really. Grow up and wake up. Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Why? Because beyond the noise, and beyond the confusion, and beyond your bills being paid, and beyond the sick children, which they're healed in Jesus' name, and beyond the marriage going amiss, if you can fight past that, where your reward stands is that you get up more than a clue of what you were created for. And even the little ones that you conceive in this life and bring forth, you were supposed to raise them for a plan. And that plan is in Christ, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to come and prescribe to you, or describe is the word, describe to you through revelation knowledge who you are and who He is and how we get there and what we're supposed to be doing while we're here. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, who does that? The Holy Spirit. That you would know what is the hope of His calling. The hope. There's a hope in His calling. He called you. Where? Way back. When did He call you? Before the lights came on. Before the clay that formed Adam's nose dried. That's your calling. He called you then. And He said, see you in Seattle. See you in Washington. Or see you in heaven. I'll see you at the end of this dispensation. And I'm going to provide everything for it. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Now, as we close, listen to this. Catch this. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to get over to you. The exceeding, everybody say exceeding. Exceeding greatness of His power to usward, that's me, who has been born again, who got the Holy Spirit, who believes. And what kind of power? What gives you a clue? It's the power according to. In other words, it's the power that looks like this. Or is like this. Or is this same kind of power. According to the same kind of power that worketh mightily from Him, His mighty power. What kind of power? The same, you get the same kind of power, He said, which was wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. And set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which to come. And why does He say that? Because He's looking to the end of all things. And He says, and He has put all things under His feet. The next chapter He said that we're seated with Him. He's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fulfilleth all in all. Now in chapter 6, He's talking about we got to wrestle with these ding-dong devils, these principalities and powers. But He says, I'm praying, praying, bending my knees. God, give them a revelation of their inheritance. And when they see it, let them see it, not just saying, oh, hallelujah, we're going to have a revival, praise God, that it explodes inside of them, that they truly see it. What you've given to me now is in accordance with what you raised Christ from the dead and raised Him up far above these devils that I'm facing right now on my plane. I'm seated with Him in that place. And God, if we get the revelation, not here, but in here where we see it, and there's only one that can take us there, it's the earnest. The down payment, He's the guy. I say that reverently. He's the guy, the Holy Spirit's the guy that continually says, look, I want to make you smarter than you are. Smarter is not a good word. I want to really open you up to who you are. I want you to see who you are. I want you to feel who you are. I want you to walk around in a confidence and saying, I'm not just making it towards the end. I'm going to arrive in full-blown glory. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we love You. We worship You. We give You all the glory. Who You are and what You are is who we are. And we love you so much, Jesus. We love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just worship through one song. Goodness, we did so good. My goodness, it's quarter till nine. I was hoping to have you out of here before 10. We're still in the eights. Does this even qualify for church or what? I don't know. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. I glorify you. I magnify you. Why don't you just thank him for his word and determined to go there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, we thank you for that time that is coming. Now we bless all these. Father, I love you. And I thank you. I thank you for that. That rain that is coming. That rain of the bridegroom that is coming. And all of this darkness will vanish before him. I thank you, Father, that Immokalee is in revival. I bless these people. I bless their homes. Every single, every married, every marriage, every little one. In Jesus' name, be blessed. We love you. We'll see many of you Friday, many of you Sunday. Be blessed. Go in God's speed. Amen.